Welcome to the First Pres Sermon Podcast, where each week we dive into Scripture, wrestle with truth, and discover how faith intersects our lives. God's Word meets us where we are, challenging, shaping, and calling us into something greater. No matter where you are on your journey, you belong here, and we're praying that this sermon might help you take a next step in faith towards Jesus. Hey, let's dive into today's message together.
Today's passage comes from Luke 8, verses 19 to 26. I invite you to turn there. It'll be on the screen for you. Let's pray together as we come to God's Word. Father, as we open your Word now, would you open our eyes to see Jesus? And we pray this in your name. Amen. Now Jesus' mother and brothers came to see him, but they were not able to get near him because of the crowd. Someone told him, "Your mother and brothers are standing outside wanting to see you." And he replied, "My mother and brothers are those who hear God's word and put it into practice." One day Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side of the lake." And so they got into a boat and set out. And as they sailed, he fell asleep. A squall came down on the lake so that the boat was being swamped, and they were in great danger. The disciples went and woke him, saying, "Master, Master, we're going to drown." He got up and rebuked the wind and the raging waters. The storm subsided, and all was calm. "Where is your faith?" he asked his disciples. In fear and amazement, they asked one another, "Who is this? He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him." They sailed to the region of the Gerasenes, which is across the lake from Galilee. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So there's a story of a man who planted two seeds in his backyard. One was an oak tree, and the other one was a bamboo. The oak tree, in just a matter of months, sprouted up and actually grew and gave a lot of shade to much of the backyard. But the bamboo tree, even in the first year, nothing. Second year, nothing. Third year, still nothing. The man actually thought that the seed had failed, but he kept watering it anyway. And then in the fifth year, the bamboo sprouted and grew 80 feet tall. In all those years leading up to it sprouting, the man could see that nothing was growing up. But what was happening is it was growing down. It was developing a root system strong enough to support the growth that would soon come up. That's kind of how it goes with God sometimes, right? We pray, we wait, we water, we kind of wonder if God is interested at all or if anything at all is going to happen. But sometimes God calls us to patiently trust that he's actively doing something in the deep, even if we can't see it. And so, brothers and sisters, you might actually be here today in that spot of the bamboo seed, wondering if God is doing anything at all. Could it be that God is building your roots? I want you to remember the bamboo. So we've been on a hunt tracing the fruit of the Spirit through the life and person of Jesus. And our sermon series has been in the face of Jesus. And today we come to the fruit of patience. Everybody say patience. There is patience. Well, where is patience? When we think of the virtue of patience, it's true, isn't it, that we kind of think of it as a passive thing. Oh, I'll just sit here idly by and wait for something to happen, right? Or for somebody to do something. I'll develop some patience, you know, as I now have to wait for a delayed flight. There's patience. Or maybe I'll develop some patience as I drive home on I-25 Or maybe I'll, this hits closer to home, maybe develop some patience while I hold my tongue. Doesn't it look like she's holding her tongue right there, really wanting to say something? Some of you right now are developing patience, waiting for the preacher to wrap up already. All these places, all these places are where patience can be forged, right? Maybe. But we're actually talking about something a little different today. When we look into the face of Jesus, we see that patience is anything but passive. It's actually very active. But it's active over a long time, see? Patience could be thought about as forbearance or even long-suffering for the sake of others. And when we actually get close enough to Jesus and really behold who he is, we see that patience is grace that goes the distance. That's the patience we're talking about today, and that's the patience that we find actually in our passage. But before we go there, I want to ask you this question. Where does the Lord's patience need to meet you today? My hope for you and me this morning is that we wouldn't just merely observe the patience in Jesus and then walk out here, but somehow that fruit of the Spirit might be coming forth from our lives. First Prez, what if God actually made a patient people today? Can you imagine the gift that that would be in our impatient world? Now, before we get into the boat, you know, we could just pray, Lord, make me patient. That's dangerous. But are we up for it? I'll let you decide. Let's look at the context of Jesus' patience, though, before we actually climb into the boat together. Verse 19. Now Jesus' mother and brothers came to see him, but they were not able to get near him because of the crowd. And someone told him, your mother and brothers are standing outside wanting to see you. And he, Jesus, replied, my mother and brothers are those who hear God's word and put it into practice. How rude, right? Seems a little rude. So here comes Mary and Jesus' brothers just trying to get a glimpse of him. Hey, we're here. And somebody like wises up and go, oh yeah, we know. Well, here, we'll tell him that you're there to see him. Hey, Jesus, your mom and your brothers are outside. And Jesus, it almost looks like he ignores them at best, doesn't it? Or rejects them at worst. But that's not what's happening. Jesus in this moment is actually redefining the word family. He says the true family of Jesus is made up of those who not only hear God's word, but put it into practice. It's about obedience. And that's the lesson Jesus is putting forth in this moment. Now, this isn't new news in Luke. We're in Luke chapter 8, but if we turn back a little bit and go to Luke chapter 6, we'll find Jesus saying this a few chapters earlier. As for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and what? Puts them into practice, I will show you what they are like. They are like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. When a flood came, the torrent struck that house, but could not shake it because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and what? Does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed and its destruction was complete. Now, this is an important setup from where we're heading in the boat, because what we're about to witness is how Jesus deals with people who have heard the word, but still don't understand. He just said, my family are those who hear my words and apply them. And now comes the test. We're in the boat. One day, Jesus said to his disciples, let us go over to the other side of the lake. So they got into a boat and set out. And as they sailed, he fell asleep. A squall came down on the lake so that the boat was being swamped and they were in great danger. So the scene shifts all of a sudden. Isn't that peculiar? Now we're on the Sea of Galilee, 8 miles wide, 13 miles long. If we were to drive the Sea of Galilee, we'd start here and end up at InterQuest somewhere. And Jesus and his disciples are right out there in the middle of it. And what starts out as a pretty serene, peaceful kind of scene suddenly turns scary. And it happens real fast. These men who practically lived on the lake, knew all that there was to know about this lake, are suddenly, question marks are over every single one of their heads. And it suddenly turns to an exclamation point. They are in peril. They're in absolutely fearing for their life. And isn't it true that when panic sets in, patience is hard to come by, right? Actually, impatience ends up being the card that we want to play. When your life is in danger, it's time to fly or, you know, fight. And we need results, and we need them like now, Jesus. So what do the disciples do? They quickly go to Jesus. Good idea. What's he doing? Sleeping. Not much help. The Son of God is sawing logs in this moment. Now, I'm being cute, but I was preparing for this sermon, and I thought, was he really asleep, or was he just kind of tired? You know, maybe Luke, you know, got some bogus info down the lines and we're now reading that. But guess what? I went to Matthew and Mark, and where this narrative appears again. Guess what? He's asleep in there too. he is sacked out. Now you might be saying to yourself, okay, big deal. I mean, Jesus is asleep in a hurricane. Why is that important to us? Well, we have to remember this man, that as we are looking into the face of Jesus, we're seeing two very important things, and they are theological pillars for us. The first one is this: we are seeing someone fully human. Why was Jesus sleeping? He was tired. He was exhausted. His ministry was, if you read up to Luke 8, it is no small, it's a heavy lift that he was doing. His ministry was just exhausting, casting out demons, healing the sick, teaching in parables, confronting the critics. If you remember the first week that we were together here in our sermon series, he was raising a little boy from the dead, right? Y'all remember that? I mean, just tons of activity, which maybe I was sitting there going, maybe that's why he had the idea, we should get in the boat and go over there. The Son of God became flesh and needed rest. And I want you to take a look at Hebrews 4:15, because this is an encouragement to us today. Fully human. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weakness. But we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. He may have slept, but he didn't sin. Jesus understands firsthand your weariness. However you walked into this room, as tired as you, some of y'all are asleep right now, but I'm actually talking to the people that you are tired because of the storms of life that just keep coming. Jesus knows. He's not disconnected from that at all. But why else might Jesus be asleep in the boat? Well, this is our second pillar. This man is fully God. The Prince of Peace is totally at peace in this moment. Jesus could sleep through a storm, not just because he was tired, but because those winds and the waves he still knows, he spoke them into being. See? He's not afraid. He made them. Right there in the middle of this crazy storm, Jesus is one with and completely at rest in the Father's care and control. Fully God. Who knows? He may have been meditating on Psalm 4:8. I love this song. In peace, I will lie down and sleep. For you alone, Lord, make me dwell in safety. You know, for some of you restless folks in this room today, that may have been all you needed to hear. You know, print that off. Put it by your bed tonight. You might just need to rest in the secure sovereignty of God and just surrender yourself right there. Jesus' sleep right here was like a silent sermon to the disciples out in the middle of the storm. But for them in this moment, all they can see is an emergency. Verse 24, Jesus is sacked out. The disciples went and woke him, saying, "Master, Master, we're going to drown." And he got up and he rebuked the wind and the raging waters. The storm subsided and all was what? Calm. Hey, you want to know something fun you can do this afternoon while your loved one is just sacked out on this, you know, the couch? Is just hop right in front of him and go, "Master, Master, we're going to drown." And the most patient person will rise and greet you. Say, "Oh, no." I mean, you would think this may have startled Jesus, but notice what Jesus does. He doesn't scold. He doesn't chew them out or chastise them for cutting his nap short. In another gospel, we actually find the disciples saying this, "Teacher, don't you even care that we're going to drown?" I mean, now not only is he waking up from his nap, but his character is questioned. You see? And I don't even know about you, but when my character is questioned, I know I'm in pastoral care, John, but you will see an impatient man. Right? Somebody questions your character, and it's hard to not get reactive, isn't it? Not Jesus. In this moment, what does he do? He wakes up, and after rebuking the wind and the waves, the Sea of Galilee turns to glass, and all is calm. And I imagine in this moment, Jesus looking outside the boat, you know, on this calm sea now, all silent. Takes a deep breath, maybe a yawn. And then he's turning his face back into the boat to the disciples. And I imagine as the disciples are looking at him now, they're feeling two things. Peace, like they've never had. One moment fearing for their lives. Now, peace. But I also imagine they are paralyzed with fear. Here is this God man in their boat. I'm sure some of them just wanted to swim for shore, right there. Had to have been paralyzing. And then Jesus says, of course, "You faithless fools, I'm done with you." Throws them overboard, right? No. He doesn't snap at them or throw them overboard, but you know what he does? He does ask a question. And this is important for us today, gang. Let's say it together. Where is your faith? Now, because you and I were not in the boat, we actually don't know the temperature of this question, you know, on how it came, but Tim Keller helped me a little bit with his interpretation. He says, Jesus didn't say you have no faith. He said, where is your faith? In other words, they had it. It just wasn't in him. You see, Jesus isn't saying, hey, you got no faith, or hey, you need more faith. He's saying, hey, where'd that faith go? Or your faith went to the wrong thing there, guys. The disciples' faith went to the boat. It went to their skills. It went to their know-how. But when the storm struck, none of that was going to help them. None of that was going to help them. Where'd that faith run off to? Or maybe it's something like, why aren't you putting it into practice? See, it's like you got that umbrella right next to you while the rain is just pouring down on your head. Where's your faith? Why don't you open that up and just put it up over you, you know. For some of us this morning, that's you, actually. You're standing right there with your faith close at hand, but it's not open. It's not being put into practice right now. You know Jesus. You are known by Jesus. But the question is before you right now, where is your faith? As you continue to battle that same recurring sin that you just can't seem to shake? Or maybe the storm right now is hitting your marriage in a way that you really are not sure it's going to be holding on when the storm is done. Maybe it's declining health. Maybe it's a relational issue that you have with a friend. I don't know what storm is happening, but the question is right there for all of this. Is your faith in the game? Or are you going to try and do this on your own? Jesus asks that, not with condemnation, but with clear teaching you. For others in this room, you're actually in a different spot now. You don't know Jesus yet. You don't know him. But guess what? Jesus this morning is standing in your boat. You don't know him, but he's right there, and he's asking you the very same question. And if that's you this morning, I want you to know Jesus went through the ultimate storm, the cross, to calm the storm of sin and death forever. And he rose 3 days later so that you might have peace for this life that you're currently living and for the moment and forever when it's done. That's our Jesus. And so I ask you, where is your faith? May it be in Jesus. Come to him today, if that's you. Trust him with your life, if that's you. He loves you more than you can possibly fathom. And if you need some more help understanding on how to take a first step into that, find somebody here that knows him. Two things I want to leave you with here today. Jesus's patience is not the absence of challenge, but it's the timing of love. Did you notice how Jesus did not ask the faith question until after that storm was over? Why is that? I imagine him waking up from the nap and go, "Oh, where's your faith?" You know, no, he's a good teacher. He calms the storm and the raging waters that are threatening his disciples, and then he delivers the question. Parents of small ones, you might know this. If your kiddo is having a panic attack, you don't just give them the truth. No, you hold them. You sit with them. You might help them breathe a little bit to come down before actually getting to where they might want to be. All the dads in the room are going, "Oh yeah, I needed that one. Oh, I needed that." It's okay. Jesus is still patient with you. As you continue to learn how to parent, he's doing the same with me. Another example, I know an older woman here at First Pres who's been married to her husband for 60 years, and dementia has started to set in now in his life. Conversations are being repeated. Keys are being lost. Just the other day, he got lost just walking around the neighborhood. And this dear woman didn't deny the challenge that was before her. She knew it was real. She knew it was hard. But each morning, she patiently laid out his clothes. She labeled doors and drawers with sticky notes. She'd tell the same story again 5, 6, 7 times as if it was the first. See, patience, not the absence of challenge, but the timing of love. Now, you might be saying to yourself right now, "Matt, good message. I'm a little lost here, because if you knew the short fuse that I live with," nervous laughter, "if you knew how impatient I am and I can become." This is the last thing I want to leave you with. Jesus's patience isn't just for the moment. It's for the miles ahead. At first, I kind of thought ending the sermon at verse 25 made the most sense. It's not going to be on the screen, but this is what it says. In fear and amazement, they asked one another, "Who is this? He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him." Curtain falls. That's it with that scene. Now we're on to the next pericope, if you will. But you know what? I think verse 26 actually belongs right here. Let's say it together. They sailed to the region of the Gerasenes, which is across the lake from Galilee. You see, Jesus didn't stop the journey out in the middle of that lake. He keeps going. He told them that he wanted to get in the boat and go across the lake, and that's just what they did. There was a storm along the way, but they got across. He's a man of his word, isn't he? He brought them to the other side, literally and spiritually. They've only begun to grasp this man's power, but he's not done with them. And friend, my fellow bamboo people, he's not done with you either. And as we close, I'd like to invite you to close your eyes right now, to just sit in silence. Adam's going to play a little bit lightly. And with your eyes closed and your heart aimed upward, I want you to just gaze upon the face of Jesus who loves you. Can you envision him? He's looking at you, not with furrowed brow, not with a look of disappointment, but with a smiling face shining down on you. This perfect patience of God is in the face of this man who went to the cross for your life and who does not demand instant maturity from you. But he's walking with you, he's teaching you, he's even waiting for you to bring your faith forward. And if that storm is hitting in your life right now, I want you to remember this man who sleeps in the boat, not out of indifference, but out of sovereign peace. Remember this man who wakes up to bring calm to your life, not condemnation. Remember the one who does question you ever so gently, where is your faith? But not to shame you, but to shape you to look more like him for the mission and for the miles that are just around the corner. So friends, receive the patience of God over your life this morning. Even now, as we join our voices to sing, can we sing this together? Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Sing it once more. Turn your eyes as you sing. Turn your eyes upon look full in his wonderful face and the
hearing God's word is just the beginning. What connected with you? What challenged you today? Maybe it's surrendering something, stepping into community, or simply trusting him more deeply. Whatever it is, don't leave it for later. Act on it today. We're praying that this message moves you closer to Jesus, and we'd love to walk with you in that journey and answer any questions you've got. Connect with us by visiting firstprescos.org. Hey, if today's message encouraged you, take a moment and subscribe so you never miss an episode and share it with someone who needs to hear it. Check in next week and we'll continue to grow in our faith together. See you next time.